Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Avodah Zarah Yud Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, around eight lines from the bottom. Up until now, we spoke about keeping from doing business with the Goyim during their holiday season, for concern that you're providing for their Avodah Zarah offerings, etc. In the following Mishnah, we're going to discuss, it's not a seasonal issue, it's all year round, but it's specific to certain items. So certain items were known to be used primarily for Avodah Zarah purposes, for offerings to Avodah Zarah, in which case Chachamim give us a list, a sort of a blacklist of items which one may not sell all year round to a goy, for concern that they're intended for Avodah Zarah. And as we know, even a goy may not do Avodah Zarah. Right? It's one of his Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and therefore we cannot aid and abet, we cannot assist in that process. That would be considered Lifnei Iver Leisiten Michshol, don't enable a violation of an Isra. Says the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Asurim Limkar Lo'ivid Kechavim. Okay, so the following items should not be sold to a goy. And the Gemara will explain exactly what these things mean. Fruits, materials, etc. It's Rublin, that's one thing. Ubnei Shuach is something else. Upetoitrois. Ulovoina, that's, we know that from our Lahavdil from the Keteres, right? Lovoina Zaka, that's the fragrant spice. And last is the white chicken. Vetarnagoil Halovan. This was something special that they would reserve for the Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Daimer, at times you can sell him a tarnagoil lovan, a white chicken. Mutar limkaloi tarnagoil lovan ben a tarnagoil. So yeah, one alone you can't. But if it's within a bunch of others, of different colors, then you could even throw in a white one, because that indicates to us that his intention is not for Avodah Zarah, from the fact that he's buying all different types. Okay, so Tanakama doesn't allow white at all. Rabbi Yehuda says, on its own, not, but in a group, that's okay. Ubezman shu bifnei asme. Now, if the white tarnagel is on its own, is there any way to, yes, sell it to the guy? Yes, there is. Koteya esetz boi umoichriloi. You just chip off the finger of the tarnagel, in which case, you know, it's not going to be useful by Zara. You're free to sell it to him. Levisha ein makrivim chaser. Lavoides kechavim, because they wouldn't offer this missing tarnagel, this incomplete, this blemished tarnagel to the Avodah Zarah. Ushar kol advarim. What about other items not mentioned in this list? So staman mutar, if it's unspecified, if you have no indication that it's going to the Avodah Zarah, then you can sell it to him. Uperushan also, but if he indicates to you that it is meant for Avodah Zarah, then you cannot. Ramir has another short list of a couple of items which are also to be sold. Ramir Omer Abdekel Tav, V'chatzav, V'naklev, which the Gemara will discuss. All these are also Asr to be sold. Limkur Levit Kechav. Now, my Itzrublin, what is this, says the Gemara? What is this Itzrublin? The answer is Turnisa. Ashi says it's a type of cedar. Tosis learns it's actually some sort of adama, min adama, maybe some sort of fungus or some sort of truffle, some sort of mushroom. Asks the Gemara, how could you say that that it's Trublin is this Turnisa thing, which certainly according to Tosis is not really considered like a plant which is rooted in the ground, in which case the halachos of Shvi'is would not apply. Only something which has, you know, roots in the ground is affected by Shvi'is, which means that the Kedusha of Shvi'is, this thing grows on Shemitah, you have Kedusha, you can't, you know, buy and sell it, etc. So if it's merely Turnisa, right, it would not be affected by Shemitah. And we have a Braisa that it is. It's covered under the laws of Shemitah. Apparently, It's not Tornisa. It's something which is properly rooted in the ground. The way Rashi explains, it's rooted all year round. Not just, you know, perennial. It's even there through the winter. Raminu, we have a kasha from a Braisa, a Sifu Alein. The following items were added to the previous ones, which was with respect to being affected and being impacted by Shemitah, Alachsin, Vitzdrublin. There you go. Muchsasin, Ibn Shuach, all these have Shemitah laws applicable to them. Vitzdrublin. Vitzdrublin. If you're going to tell me the definition of Vitzdrublin is that Tornisa material, that would be unaffected by Shemitah. Tornisa mi'isa b'shvi, since when is Tornisa impacted by Shemitah? Va'atanim v'braisa, that it's not. Zeklal. It has to conform to the following formula. Zekol she'eshli ikur, something is properly rooted in the ground, which Tornisa is not. Yeshli shvi'is. The laws of Shemitah apply, but otherwise not, right? V'chol she'ein lo ikur ein, lo yishvi'is. Apparently, it's Trublin is not Tornisa. Ella Amar of Safra, you're right, Peira de Arza, some sort of nut or fruit coming off this cedar tree, Vichenti Asa Ravan Amar Veloza Peira de Arza. Some explain this is something that the hogs like, perhaps this is like the truffles that they harvest on the ground, which maybe is considered rooted because it connects to the roots of the trees. In any case, it is considered a plant, is considered covered by halachas of Shemitah. B'noi Shuach, what is that? Omar Rabba. Bar Bar Chan, Omar Vyechnan, Te'eni, Chivarta, some sort of white species of figs. Chivrata. B'vitoitres, that's the third item on the list. Actually, it says the Gemara, it's not another item. It's just a reference back to the prior two items. Petitris means it has a stem intact, which they would use to hang the fruit in front of the Avodah Zarah, like how do we do today by sukkah decorations, right? You hang a fruit off its stem. So that's what it means. Upetitris means that the prior two items mentioned, the Itzdrublin and the Bnei Shuach, are only a concern if they still have their stems intact, in which case they can be used for Avodah Zarah decoration. Amar Rabba, Bar Brachana, Amar Bi'echanon, Bip Toit Reiseyen, the previous two items still have their stems intact. Shanu, that's why they're on the list. Levoina, Amar Bi'etzok, Amar Bishim Ben Lakish. Okay, we know Levoina means the incense. Levoina Zaka, a special type of Levoina. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Although you should not sell these items to a goy, but if you sell it to him in a large quantity, which has a commercial twist to it, then it's okay, because he's not going to be using it personally. He's merely buying it to distribute it further. Tana umikulan, all these items, moichrin lehen chavila, you can sell it to him in a bundle, in a large quantity. Become a chavila, what's considered a bundle? How big? What's the minimum to be allowed? Piresh, Rabbi Ben Basera, he explained, ain chavila. The term chavila in this case is no less than p'chusa mishleisha mana, no less than 3 mana. Mana is 100 dinar in weight, so it's a huge amount. You sell them that much, that takes on more of a commercial nature, and therefore it's okay. V'leichosh dum ozel umaz b'nachrini. Okay, so perhaps he won't use it, but he'll pass it on to others. Umaktri, and they'll offer it to Avodah Zarah. Amar Abaye, it's not our business. Alifnei. So if it's just one step away to the Avera. Lifnei iver l'sete mirshol. Mifakdinan. We're instructed to refrain from doing that, from helping this guy here, this customer, do Avodah Zarah. But if it's two steps removed, alifnei delifnei, before of the before, I mean selling it to a distributor, we might pass it on to a customer. That's not our business. Leim fakdinan, we have no prohibition against that. Tarnagol lovin. Okay, let's proceed to the fourth item, which is the white tarnagol. According to Tanakama, don't sell it at all. Chances are he's using it for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says, on its own, don't. But together with others, it would seem like he's not intending for Avodah Zarah, from the fact that he's buying other colors as well. Some had a different version that it was directly from Rav Zeira. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Zeira. He tells us another halacha with respect to selling a tarnagol lavan. According to him, it depends how the customer is placing his order. Is he asking for a white one? Then you know what he has in mind. If he's just coming in generically, give me a tarnagol, that's okay. Because there's no indication of Avodah Zarah intent, right? Tarnagol, Limi, he comes into the farm, who has a chicken for sale, without mentioning white. Mutalim Kaloi, Tarnagol Oven. Here you can sell him a white Tarnagol. But if he specifically asks, Tarnagol Oven Limi, who has a white Tarnagol, then you have a concern that his intent is for Avodah Zarah, and therefore Asur Limkar Loi Tarnagol Oven. Okay, so according to this, it depends more how the customer is placing his order. If it's a specific request for a white one, you shouldn't. But if it's a generic request, could I have a tarnagol? Then you have no reason to think, no reason to suspect of a desire. Now let's take a look at our Mishnah and see how this jives with our Mishnah. Tanan. So in our Mishnah we discussed a different twist. On its own or together with others. Tanakama says, either way, don't sell it. Rabbi Yehuda says, on its own, don't sell the white one. But together with others, you see, he's just out to buy chickens for personal use, and therefore you can sell him a white one too. Right? So Tanan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Moichalu Hulay Tarnagol Lovin Beinat Tarnagolim, you can sell him a white one amongst the other ones. That's allowed. Now, here's a question. How was the order placed in the Mishnah? Did the fellow ask for white? Or was it just a generic request for any tarnagol? Hechidami. Elim with the kamer tarnagol lovin lemi. Tarnagol lovin lemi. Are we speaking that the guy entered the chicken market asking for a white one? So how could we allow you to sell him a white one? Even if it's amongst others. You see clearly that he has a desire intent. Okay, so he's buying a couple more. You know, because he's getting a good deal, or that's, you know, afilu bein ha'tarnagolim namilo, even if it's amongst others, you shouldn't be allowed to sell him. Ela lav d'kamar tarnagolimi, tarnagolimi. Oh, apparently he wasn't specific. He placed a generic, general, unspecified order. Who has a tarnagol? Who has a tarnagol? And still we see that the only way, even Rabbi Yehuda, who's more lenient, even he only allows it together with others when it's being sold as a bunch. Afilu hachi l'Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only allowed bein ha'tarnagolim in only then, together with others. Right? Which adds that mitigating factor. So that's okay. But b'fnei atzmei lo, but on its own, a white one is never allowed to be sold, even though he didn't ask for a white one. Well, according to the Tanakhama, it's even worse than that. Afilu bein ha'tarnagolim namilo, even if it's amongst others, even if it's being sold as a bunch, you can't. And again, we're speaking that the fellow never asked for a white one. It's a direct contradiction to Rabbi Zeira, who said that it's all about how he places his order. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak. No. Certainly, it's about how the guy places the order. So again, if he came in for any chicken, you can sell him a white one. If he specified white, you can't sell him. In under all circumstances. Even with a bundle. The case in the Mishnah is speaking about an in-between type of case. He specified, but he didn't really. Hachab Ma'eskinan. He walked into the chicken coop. He says, you know, this one, the black one. This one, the white one. So he pointed to a couple of ones. So in this case, it's sort of, you know, up in the air. What did he have in mind? Was his real objective to get the white one? And the other one was just a cover-up to mask his intention? Or was it really just a benign order? I need a bunch of things. This one. It wasn't for our purposes. And in this case, we have the machlokes in the Mishnah. Tanakhama says, no. even there, don't sell on the white. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. You know, in this case, since it's up for interpretation, let's see. So if you sell him a whole bunch, and you see that he's buying, that pretty much clarifies for us that his intentions were innocent. He didn't really need the white one for Avodah Zarah. So again, if he comes in with a direct request for the white one only, all agree you can't. If it's just a general, unspecified, generic request for anything, you can sell him a white one, as per Abzera's distinction. But if he's pointing to a couple of ones, oh, the black one, the white one, the red one, so here Tanakama says, since he made reference to the white one, something's fishy. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, yeah, to sell him just the white one on its own, then, and he walks away just with the white, that's a problem, because apparently that was his main objective. But if he's willing to buy a bunch, then it's just for personal consumption, just like the other ones are not for Avodah Zarah, so the white one is also okay. It's also assumed to be for personal use, and therefore it's okay. Tanya Namihachu, we have a brisa, which in fact supports this interpretation in the Mishnah, that was speaking about Zevezeh. Amar Rav Yehuda, a Mosai, when do I disallow, when do I ban selling a white one? Bezman she'omar tarnugol zelavon. When he specified, here, I need this white one. Aval imamar zevezeh mutar. But if he pointed to a couple of them, amongst them a white one as well, and he took them all, Rav Yehuda says, that would be okay. And even in this case, Chacham say that, since he did make mention of the white one, don't sell it to him at all. And the Braisa continues. Actually, there's another a case where we're lenient, even with respect to a white tarnagol. Afilu amar tarnagol zeh. Even if he walks and he points to a specific white one, he says, I'd like this one. But we know that this customer is preparing for his son's wedding, or he has an ill person at home where he needs a white tarnagol for remedy purposes. So then we could interpret his intention as being benign, innocent, and he can sell it to him. He's preparing a wedding for his son. He has an ill person at home, and then he can sell it to him. Rashi says they would have this white chicken for adornment to enhance the wedding, and for the chayla, the white one served as a refuah. So that's okay. Hold it, says the Gemara. How could you even deal with a person who's preparing for a wedding? We had this halacha previously, right? It's a day of celebration with religious components. You shouldn't be dealing with him at all during that period. We have the Mishnah, if the guy is preparing his son's wedding, he must refrain from doing business with this man, only on that day. Okay, but at least on that day with this man, keep away. Certainly, Asr. How could you sell him a white? Amar Bitzchak, Barab Mesharshia, Bit Vazik. We're not speaking about the actual wedding celebration. There's some sort of post wedding celebration. Nothing official, nothing formal. Something at the some sort of a camaraderie party. So that's okay. That has no Avodah Zarah components. Tanan. Okay, let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Ushar kol advarim. So other, materials, other merchandise, can you sell to the guy? Stam mutar, purushin asur. If it's just being purchased, stam, unspecified, intentions are unspecified, then you can sell. Don't assume that purushin asur, but if he specifies it, you can't. Now, what is stam and what does perush mean? What is he specifying? My stam and my purusha. Ilema, shall we say, stoma means the kamar chiti chibrusa. He walks into the grain supplier and he says, I'd like light-colored wheat, different types of brands. I like the white ones, the light ones. Without explaining his intent, then it's okay. we assume it's for personal use. Perushan, when the Mishnah speaks about a customer who specifies what? That he intends on using it for Avodah Zarah offerings. The Kamar Lavid Kechavim. Is that the Pshat in the Mishnah? Well, there's no need for the Mishnah to discuss this. This is a very obvious halacha, because Lo Yistam Atzricha Lememar De Mezbaninan. If that was the Pshat in the Mishnah, then why would the Mishnah even trouble itself to tell it to us? I mean, it's unnecessary to tell us that the mazbanina that you could purchase, that you could sell him, white wheat. Why not? These aren't, it's not on that blacklist. Right? It's not the white chicken, it's not that, right? So why not? V'lei pirushan, tzrich lememid, le mazbanina. On the other hand, certainly if he specifies that I'm buying this for Avodah Zarah, there's no need to tell us that it's usher. Of course not, if he tells you. So that cannot be the pshat in the Mishnah, because these halachas are obvious. Elo stama dekama chiti. Apparently the word stama means that he's asking for wheat. He's not specifying, the light wheat, which is typically used for Avodah Zarah. Just wheat. So if he just asked for wheat, it's a generic order. We assume his intent is, just for personal use. You could sell him any type, even a certain type which is sometimes used by the Zohar. When the Mishnah says you cannot sell when it's Perushan, when he specifies, Perushan means the Kama Chivrusa, that he specified what type he wants, the light ones. Then you suspect that it's Favay Dezar. Mechlal de Tarnagol, Afilus Tama Namiloy. So, this allowance to sell him the wheat, because he didn't specify a certain type, a certain special brand, in which case we just assume it's for personal use, that's a leniency by wheat. Because these aren't materials which are, primarily purchased by the Zohar. So we allow for that leeway. But apparently, regarding the items on that blacklist, like the white chicken, there the concern is much, much greater, because those items are specifically used for Avodah Zarah. They're intended for Avodah Zarah. So there, we wouldn't have this allowance. We wouldn't have this kula. Let's make an inference. Apparently, when it comes to the tarnagel, where the stakes are higher, where the suspicion is greater, mechalal the tarnagel afilu stam namali, even if he didn't specify white, he didn't specify the specific type which is known to be used for Avodah Zarah. Even just walking to the store and asking for a plain chicken shouldn't allow you to sell him a white one. I feel it's dumb. That's a kashram, what we said earlier, that it's all about how he places his order. Says the Gemara Amri, so the response was given, lo'ilam stamman dekamar chiti chivrus. Let's go back to the earlier interpretation. Could I sell wheat? If it's stam, yes. Perushan, no. What does stam mean? What does perushan mean? Let's go back to the earlier interpretation. Lo'ilam stamman dekamar chiti chivrus. Stamman means he asked for the high quality white, light colored wheat. You could sell it to him, since he didn't specify that it's favoy desar use. But the Mishnah disallows when he specifies perushan. It means that he specified, I'm using it favoy desar, the kamar lavitz kechavim. And as to your question, isn't this an obvious halacha? Not so obvious. You know why? Your perushan is strictly, there's a point in mentioning perushan to tell you that it's usher. Because I would think perhaps the guy is just masking his true intention. He's trying to get a good deal from you, hoping that if he divulges to you that he's using Favay Dezara, just like he would give a person, his customer, a good deal if it's Favay Dezara, he's hoping you would do the same to him. You give him a break, give him a discount, even though he really intends it for personal use. He's just masking his true intention to get a good deal. So perhaps you don't have to take him seriously. Upurushan is strictly, there's a chiddush. Even when he's mefarish, that I'm buying this for Avodah Zarah. Perhaps I would say, hi, Garva, this man, this guy, this customer, he doesn't really plan on using for Avodah Zarah. He just want to get a good deal from you, from the merchant. Ela meva kuda avik. Avodah Zarah, he's just so infatuated and attached to the Avodah Zarah. And he's figuring in his mind, the savar, ki echi, just like Tahu Garva, this man, meaning himself, Avik Bey is attached to Avodah Zarah and loyal to Avodah Zarah and would gladly give his customer a break if it's intended for worship. Kuli Alman Ami. Aviku. Everybody else out there, all the merchants, they're all in the same boat. Right? He sees the world through his lens. So, better I tell him, it's Favay Dezar, he'll give me a break. Ema Hachi. So I'll purport that I'm using Favay Dezar. Kehi. Delacefully. So give me a good deal on the grain. But that's not really what he's trying to do. It's for personal use. So perhaps you don't have to take him seriously, and you can sell it to him kamashma, and the point of the mission is no. If he said it, you got to believe it, and you got to keep back. Boy Ravashi. Here's a new question regarding the Tarnagolova. So the guy walks into the chicken market. Tarnagolova kotualami. Who has a white rooster missing a finger, missing a toe? No, could you sell him a white rooster? Ma, what's the halacha? Ma, olim kaloi tarnagolova shalom. Can I sell him an unblemished one? What's the question? Mi amrina, shall we say? The fact that he's asking for a missing one. Lav oidas. Kecham kaboy. Apparently it's not meant for avodazara use, because they wouldn't use a blemished chicken. So you can sell it to him. Oidilma, on the other hand, maybe he's just playing games. He's just pretending. He's covering up his true intention for concern that we might not want to sell him the white one. So he knows good and well that it's unlikely. How common is it to have a chicken with a missing leg, right? So chances are he's going to walk out with a proper tarnagol. This was just a game to mask his true intention. He's just playing games. So he shouldn't sell it to him. Into Tilema. On the other hand, you can say, if we'll say, if in fact we'll go with this concern that he's just pretending and masking his true intention, what if he says, Tarnago love and lami? He walks in, who has a white one? Fellow approaches him with a black one, he buys it. The next fellow offers him a red one, he takes it. So perhaps that should change our perception here. The fact that he's taking all the other ones, can I now go ahead and sell him a white one too? Ma'olim k'loi lovan. Can I sell him a white one? What's the question? Mi amrinan, shall we say, kivan diyavu le'shachar v'shakal. Since we already offered him a black one, he bought it. V'adam v'shakal, he took a red one. Wouldn't that indicate that, in fact, his intentions are for personal use? Love is kechom kabay. Wouldn't that indicate to us that he's not buying for avodah zara? Oidilma, on the other hand, maybe he's even a bigger faker. Iru mikamara. He's playing a double game. He's not even asking for a white one, and he's even taking the other ones, but really, his ultimate goal is to get a white one for avodah zara. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Rameir Avdek. Rameir adds another couple of items to this blacklist. Amalir of Chizd Ravimi. Gemiru, we have a tradition, a Kabbalah. The Avodas Kechavim, the Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu's Meseches, Avodah Zara, was huge. Dalad Meya Pirkei Havyan was 400 prokim long. Imagine it would take a whole Dafyemi cycle to finish just the Mesech Avodah Zara. I mean, that was his forte. I mean, that was the call of duty in his days. It was all about, you know, analyzing, investigating, confronting, battling Avodah Zarah, right? That was the call of his day. Had a huge masechta. V'anan, but by us, chamisha tanan. We barely have five prakim. V'li adina my karmina, and even those we don't fully understand. Imagine if we'd have a big. Oh my gosh, what's the problem? So Avimi responds to what don't you understand? Says the Gemara. Diktani, because look at the Mishnah. Rabbi Oimer, Avdekel, Tav, Chatzav, Anaklas, Asr, Limkar, Lev Gicham. You shouldn't sell these items. We have no idea what the Dekel, Tav, Hulemas, Beninan. So Rabbi Oimer says, well, don't sell them a good Dekel, good palm tree, Lemas, Beninan. In Eretz Yisrael, right? Ha Dekel, Bishmas, Mzabninan. Apparently you can sell them a poor quality palm tree in Eretz Yisrael. You can't sell them a tree in Eretz Yisrael at all. You're not supposed to sell real estate to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. It's Isser Torah. It says, Loi Sechonim. Rashi brings it. It says, Al Titen Lehem Chaniya Bekarka. You can't allow them, you know, permanence in the land. So why is Rameir only limiting it to a good quality, a dekel tav, any dekel? But none, ein moichrin lehem b'mechubel karka. You can't sell them anything on the ground. Amalisi responded, my dekel tav. Peiro is dekel tav. You're making a mistake. It's not the tree that he's selling. He's selling the fruit, the dates of this tree. Okay. Since there's avodah zarah components there, we don't sell it. V'chein, Amar Afuna, likewise, he explained, Peiro is dekel tav. The next item on Rameir's list is a chatzav. What is that? That's kashva. Once again, Rashi says this is from the date family. What is a naklas? Because Rav Dimi, when he came, Amar Chama Bar Yosef, he explained kuriyati. He gave another descriptive term for naklas. Amar Abay Rav Dimi, that doesn't really help us much. We don't know naklas, nor do we know kuriyati. Tana naklas v'liadin and ma'u. The Mishnah mentions naklas, and we have no clue what that is. But Amar's kuriyati, you add another name to that item, and we still have no idea. Le'adinan Maya. Le'adinan. Maya Hanaslan, what have you, how have you helped us by adding this new name, which we still don't know what it is? Homalesi, he says, I helped you like this. Because if you go to Yisrael one day, the Chiazla's house, when you go to Yisrael, Amr's Lu Naklas, you'll ask them, what is Naklas in the Mishnah? They may not know. So you'll pull out this card, you'll offer them the alternate description. Amrslu, you'll tell them, actually, I once heard that Naklas and Kuriyati are synonymous. Oh, they'll tell you Kuriyati. We know what that is. Viadi, they'll know what it is. V'kumach v'lach nashotu. And then you'll know what Kuriyati is, and you'll know what Naklas is. Okay, so in summation, we have the Mishnah, which gives us a blacklist of items not to be sold to Goyim for concern that they might be used for Avodah Zarah. We have the Tzrublin, we have Bnei Shuach, we have the Isser only if they're stemmed, if they have their stems intact, we have the Levoina Zaka, we have the white Tarnagol, and the way we concluded was, it's primarily dependent upon the way the order was placed. He comes in asking for any Tarnagol, no problem selling. He asks, Tarnagol Lovin? Surely not. But if he just says this, this, and that, amongst which there is a Tarnagol Lovin. Tanakama says, still you should not be selling it to him for concern that it's for Avodah Zarah. Rabbi says, if it's being sold together, then it's assumed to be for personal use. Likewise, we learned that a Tarnagol Lovin would be allowed to be sold even if he asked for it, if you see that he has alternate plans, the wedding or whatever it is, for a four. And then at the end of the Mishnah, we... First we have Rameir's added list, and we have the end of the Mishnah, that other, you know, other unspecified items, there it depends. If he just buys it, you know, stam, it's okay, but if he's mefarish, Avodah Zarah, you have to take him seriously, and it's awesome. Okay, let's see the Mishnah with just another little piece of Gemara to complete our daf. Mokam shenogu limka remadaka. May one sell an animal to a guy? So it depends on the local minhag. Mokam shenogu limka remadaka. Loidu kechavim, if in this locale, the practice was to sell these light animals to the goyim. Moichman, you can go ahead and sell it. But in a place where they don't, mokim shenagu shaloi limkar, then you're meant to refrain from selling. Ein moichman. Ubuchal mokim, wherever you live, if it's heavy work animals, you shouldn't be selling it to a goyim. Because there's a concern about Shemira Shabbos, because it might lead to loaning it to a goy or renting it to a goy, and then he might have some trouble working it on Shabbos, and I'll call you over to help him, and if the animal works by way of your instructions, you're causing your animal to work on Shabbos, which is a problem, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Agolim, calves, asyachim, mules, or whatever, donkeys, shleim and shvurin, whether they're work enabled, or even if they're injured and they can't really work, we still don't allow it. We have an, you know, a loy plug all around Israel, without differentiation. Rabbi says if he's injured and he can't work anyways, then it's okay to sell. He's mater besus. He says you can sell him a horse because look, at most a horse is meant to, you know, carry passengers, and even if he does it on Shabbos, that wouldn't be considered issa deraisa because we have something called chai noishes atzmai. A person is not a load. He's not a package, right? A live person makes himself lighter. Right, tries to lift himself a bit, and therefore it doesn't really conform to the malacha of carrying on Shabbos. he's different than a load, and therefore, even if he was riding a horse on Shabbos, it's only Issa Rabbanan, in which case we can sell it to a guy. Now, regarding behemoth daka, sheep and goats and all that, it depends on minhag hamakom. There's no Issa. There should be an Issa because the guy were suspected of beasting their animals, which is an Issa. Even for a guy, it's a rayas. Rashi brings the pasuk, "Vayil basar echad," right? Only between humans, not between animals. So you can't enable that. You can't abet and assist, as we learned earlier, because of lifnei iver l'sitim michshol. So by giving him these animals, you're providing him an opportunity to do an iser. So why are we saying it's tully in the minhag? You shouldn't be allowed to give him an animal, even to sell him an animal. L'memer di isur aleka, you mean to say it's not aser? It's only minhag hudika? It's only about minhag? It's about, you know, tradition? Heicha denoig iser noig, wherever they have the practice to ban, you follow that. Heicha denoig heter noig, wherever the practices to allow it, you do that? You do so? V'raminu, we have a kasha from a Mishnah, later on in our Masechta. There's a very big concern with allowing a guy with an animal. You don't leave your animal unattended in these, you know, road stops, in these hotels, belonging to guy, because you can't allow a guy to do yichud with an animal, to be in private with an animal. There's a concern that they might interact with the animal. So likewise here, why are we selling him an animal? Which might lead to revia. Amar Rav, apparently, it's about the cultural norms. In some places, the goyim were suspected of this type of behavior, in which case, even leaving an animal in his care would be a problem. And likewise, selling him an animal. But in some cases, it wasn't the common practice, in which case, neither yichud or selling him an animal would be mutter. Hence, selling an animal is really dependent upon norms and practices, which the Mishnah calls minhag, right? Amarav makam shetiru limkur, hetiru liyachid. You're right, in a place where there's no suspicion of revia, of interacting with animals, you can sell him an animal. Yichud between the guy and the animal is okay as well. We're not concerned about any sin. But yeah, makam shetiru liyachid, a place where you cannot allow the guy to be in seclusion with your animal, such as the halacha just quoted in the Mishnah. That's a place where we're chayshed that they will asher limkar. So you're right, you can't sell him an animal as well. Okay, so that's all the Mishnah meant when it said makam shenagu. Depends on the cultural norms, depends whether there's a concern about avera. But basically it goes hand in hand. The allowing the guy to do yichud and allowing yourself to sell an animal to the guy is really all based on the same issue. Rav Elazar Omer, he has a different approach. He says, no. The Mishnah, which just allows a person to leave an animal in the care of a guy, applies universally. Because the guy is always suspected of this type of behavior. And if it's a Jewish animal, he certainly doesn't care, because although this type of behavior ruins the animal, Rashi says, it sort of sterilizes the animal, prevents it from having further offspring. He doesn't care about the Jewish, he doesn't care about your animal. He cares about his own animal. So leaving your animal in his care is a problem for concern about avera. But selling him an animal, that's not such a big concern, because he's careful not to harm his own animal. So he refrains from interacting with his animal. Just in some places, there was a minhag to still refrain even from selling. That's what the Mishnah means. Rav Elazar Omer, af b'makom she'asur liyachid mutar limkor. Even in places where you can't allow, can't facilitate a yichud between a guy and your own animal for concern about avera, that's because it's your animal. In which case, he doesn't care about harming it. But mutar limkor, you can still sell him an animal. My time of why? What's the difference? He's concerned that his animal should not become sterilized through this type of behavior. And although Rav initially had presented his solution to this kasha, he retracted and he adopted Rav Lezer's approach. Rav quotes Rav that, yeah, your own animal you shouldn't leave in his care, because it might lead to transgression. But in terms of selling, a goy is chasal b'hemti, is concerned about the well-being of his animal, shalti akar, shouldn't become an akar, shouldn't become sterilized, and disabled from having offspring. So, you know, the concern is not so real. But nevertheless, in some places they still refrain from selling an animal to a guy, perhaps for concern that it might lead to yichud, whatever. So in any case, actually the Rashi in Pesachim explained, because if you sell him a light animal, you might sell him a heavy work animal, which of course is aser, so that was totally, that depended on the minhag, hamak. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.